Frozen Shows is filmed in front of a live Twitch audience. Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I am your host, Josette, aka Mahler67, and with me, as always, I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got my brother Austin. Austin, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good, how about you?
I'm doing pretty good too, I cannot complain. I'm a little tired because I accidentally fell asleep. I laid down on my bed and I was like, oh, it's kind of cold in my room. It feels nice. I'm going to lay on my bed. Alarm goes off at 7:55. It's just like, hey, bye, Bros and Shows time. I was like, oh, no. So I quickly jumped on, scrambled, and got everything together for us to. You were, of course, waiting for me. So, you know, those beautiful, beautiful days like that. So, I don't know what to say to that. It's just one of those things that sometimes when I get off of work, I'm just tired because I stay up way past when I should, or I go to sleep whenever I get home, and then I'll be up for a couple hours after then, and then, you know, I'll be tired tomorrow, and then I'll do it all over again. Naps, man, it's great. Beautiful.
Oh man.
Hey man, what can you do, Austin? How's your week, man? Hey man.
Man. So I came out and visited you over the weekend.
Too bad. Yeah.
We went and saw the new David Harbour movie, Violent Night.
Yeah, we did.
Which we all had a lot of fun watching that movie, and I highly recommend it. If you know, not for little ones, but for like adults.
Yeah, definitely not for little ones. So. Don't watch for
there
the
is
ones.
Murder.
It's definitely meant for millennials, I feel, because it had the nostalgia of like Home Alone-esque with like the old kind of gory slapstick humor that a lot of people enjoy. I think the other thing I will say about it is it is it gets my seal of approval just because it was the first show or movie I've seen in the last 3-4 years, like pre-pandemic, that actually made me like cheer out loud in the movie theater. Like I've just been so sober in the movie theaters where I'm just like I'm just gonna watch it. And that legitimately made me go like, yeah, whenever one of those scenes happened. So,
yeah, I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that film, and I love that director. He made Dead Snow and Dead Snow 2, which are like one of my favorite. Like at the hype of like the Nazi zombie thing that was going on because of Call of Duty, and then like everyone jumped on that train. That movie to me, when I was like, I don't want to watch this. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I've seen like all these other ones, and they're terrible. But then I watched this. I watched Dead Snow 1 and I was like, wow, this is a really cool concept how they do Nazi zombies. And then they did number 2 and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to watch that. So when I found out that he was doing Violent Night and David Harbour was in it, I was like, yes, I have to totally watch this. And I greatly appreciated that movie. I had so much fun with you and Todd watching that film. I also got to see my buddy Seth and his little child and Aaron. That was pretty cool. And then I had to be back before then because a lot of the people that I work with, like my coworkers, have come down with COVID or influenza or the flu. So they've asked me to pick up hours. And at that time, like if you pick up hours on like a weekend, it's like $2 more an hour that you get paid to do. So like I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Well, I forgot that I already accepted hours on Monday. So I went in at 5 p.m. Sunday, and I got off at 7 p.m. Tuesday. So, it was rough, and, like, I could not sleep. I watched so much Community because, like, that's just the show that I put on in the back just to, like, you know, kind of get it. And then, like, I get to start just watching it, and then I realize it's, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I gotta get to bed because, like, I gotta be up at 6 to wake this guy up for his job, and then I have to go to the other place that I work at. So yeah, I for the last 2 overnights that I did on Sunday and Monday, I was watching Community, and I actually started Community, and I got all the way to season 5. Actually, I just finished Pierce's funeral thing, which is my favorite episode of Community of all time. But yeah, it was a lot of work, you know. I've been going through a lot, you know. A lot of people don't know this, but my wife is pregnant, and you know, you have to deal with all the pregnancy stuff, like the weird cravings, the mood swings, the hey, I'm not feeling so good type deal, you know. It's just part of that, but you know, we're excited for that. So yeah. But yeah. How was so your whole I really envy you with taking naps right now, because
yeah, well,
I haven't really slept really good lately because of I can't really sleep in anyone else's bed or couch like I used to. It's just I can't do it. I don't know why.
And then meanwhile me, I will fall asleep in a car.
Yeah, and see, I can't do that either.
It's all good, whatever. I do have to trust the driver a lot whenever that happens. But whatever. You know, it's just another Wednesday night. Speaking of Wednesday, Austin.
That's why we're actually doing Wednesday, it on Wednesday, because yes, it's fun. Fun, guys.
We made a joke, and it's like, hey, Austin said, like, hey, I have to work, so I won't be able to do Monday night. I'm like, yo, you want to just do it Wednesday since we're watching Wednesday? And he's like, sure. And so that's what we're doing today. It's a normal Wednesday night for Shia LaBeouf. Nah, Austin, this week we watched Wednesday on Netflix. And it was a show that I did not know about whatsoever. Until a trailer, the like trailer popped up where it's her and the Thing talking the first time you see the thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, interesting. I'll give it a watch and everything of that sort. So I did. Austin, what'd you think of Wednesday?
So I kind of knew about this project for a while now because, you know, me being in the community of horror, like, and liking horror films and stuff like that, a lot of people are huge fans of Adam's Family. And, I found out about this because, one of the biggest, you know, directors of our time, decided to be part of this production. He's an exclusive producer. And they brought in one of my favorite composers of all time to do the score for the show. So I was like, I have to watch the show. So when it dropped, I already started watching it. And then you said, hey, we should watch Wednesday. And I was like, oh, well, good thing that I've already watched it, but I'll watch it again because I'm that way. But me, So there's a couple things that I will say about Wednesday. Is it a good show? Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed this show. I enjoyed the lore for it. I liked a lot of the scenes, and I thought they were really well done. And before I get off topic with that, the person I'm talking about, the director of our time, was Tim Burton, is an exclusive producer for the show.
Okay.
And Danny Elfman is one of the best composers of all time. Danny Elfman, everyone knows from Nightmare Before Christmas. He did like all the music for that, and then he did the theme song for Tales from the Crypt and a lot of the music from Tales from the Crypt. So Danny Elfman's, and he's done so many other scores that I can't, you know, get into. I know he did like a couple episodes of The Simpsons, like Treehouse of Horrors episodes. But this show, I really thoroughly enjoyed. There is a problem that I have with this show, and that is which we'll talk about in the podcast. But it which we're doing later on in the podcast. The thing is, it's like I enjoy the show. I'm gonna give it a solid like 8 out of 10, maybe a 9. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought they did really well. There's some things that I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. But overall, would I watch it again? Yes, 100%. I would watch this again. It was fun. It was entertaining. I could watch it with people that, like, you know, are not usually into stuff like that. Because I'm going to be real with you guys. Like, if you decide to watch this, there is gore. Like, there is violence in this show. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you've watched Adam's Family, you know, that's kind of been like that. But the 90s movies have worked kind of campy anyways. But yeah, so I liked it. What did you think of Wednesday's little adventures?
Well, I really thought Wednesday, okay, so I did like Wednesday. I can't wait for my Nevermore lair so I can go and ride on broomsticks. I'm more interested in Nevermore than like Hogwarts by far. And that's just personally. Cause like growing up, like Harry Potter was interesting and cool and whatnot. The whole concept of like a school of whatever it is, you know, witches, outcasts, wizards, outcasts, whatever it was, always I wanted to do it. That's one of the reasons why I really liked like the Fable series growing up. Mm-hmm. It's because you begin the game as like heroes from the school. And that is in the show. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. The thing that makes me, what I enjoy the most about the show and why I personally like the show, and I don't want to do like the whole 8 out of 10 type deal thing that you do, but why I think it's a good watch is just I'm a big fan of like detective mysteries and novels and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there's the overarching theme of her with her typewriter writing her own kind of like detective story. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. she is being a detective in the show. And I really enjoyed that. Just because it allows the whole context of like who done it, who doing it, and who's the problem and who's the faulty character and whatnot. And so I liked it. I enjoyed it, and I would recommend people to like, especially like people who wouldn't naturally like this type of stuff or would just, I know there was a lot of people who were turned off by, what's his face playing the dad. I thought he did great. Yeah.
Luis Grossman.
Yeah. I thought everyone in the show did a really good job. Like I felt like a lot of them kind of like fit the world and atmosphere. And we can go into more detail about that here soon. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was one of the shows that I actually preemptively started watching because I saw it was out and got one or two episodes in and I'm like, okay, I'm going to like the show. That's a solid thing. Awesome. Let's dive into the show itself. You had you said you had a singular issue, and I guess I must have accidentally jumped into it.
Well, I have two issues.
Let's break it down. What's your like and dislike, man?
So one of the dislikes that I really did not like is the whole it felt like Hogwarts. It felt like Harry Potter.
That was an issue for you.
Yeah, because the thing was like nothing against it, but like it's recycled a lot. You know, after Harry Potter, a lot of things got recycled like that. You know, like X-Men was like that. What was it? X-Men First Class and those that was kind of recycled of it. But
yeah, I mean, they kind of came first.
They came first, but the movies, those movies were right after Harry Potter. And they kind of like picked up on the whole like Xavier School thing and like they're outcasts and stuff like that. And I'm okay with that. But to me, it felt really Harry Potter-ish, especially the part where they do like the canoe racing. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the games that they'd play in Harry Potter was that?
You're talking about Goblet of Fire?
Yeah, it was Goblet of Fire. It reminded me so much of Goblet of Fire.
The Triwizard Tournament, yeah.
Yeah, so like I mean I was like
I will say this, no, not at all, like I disagree with that right there, because the Triwizard Tournament was between like one of the main houses all around the place. But I would connect that whole episode with the whole like canoe and the cup or whatever to more of like a homage to the Adam family one where she goes, her and Bugsley goes to the camp or whatever it was. Like, I forget what it is.
Family
like
that, matters.
That's what I felt like it was more of. I was like, okay, this is like a kind of a nod. Because here's the thing. I felt like a lot of the stuff in this show was homages to stuff without it actually being just straight one-to-one.
Now, there was something that I pointed out. Like, the other thing I pointed out was like the cast that they took. From the show, in which there's an all-star cast in the show.
Hey, there's the surprising
person that I want to talk about is Kristen Reich. She's the original Wednesday from like the TV from the movie. Okay. The girl that plays Marilyn, the girl that's actually the villain with the red hair. She is the original Wednesday from the movies. So I knew that right away. I was like, hey, she looks familiar. So I had to look it up and I was like, oh, it's her. Of course it is. That's why she looks familiar. She was the original Wednesday. So I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But the second thing I had a problem with,
okay,
is I thought the ending was a little bit too predictable, because I actually, when I first started watching through this, I actually predicted the ending, like the villains. Because like I was like, well, Wednesday's starting to like this guy that's kind of a normie. He doesn't really have any ties to anyone, and like people really don't know him, and he doesn't care about like, you know, that. So I'm like, he's got to be like something different. Because like, you know, they do that thing where like someone falls in love with their murderer or their killer, you know, and they find out. Like there's a show called You, which is about a murderer that like is like stalking this girl the whole time.
Yeah.
And so she ends up falling in love with him, and you're like, yep, that's and that's how they did that in the show. Like I knew she was gonna fall for him, and then he was gonna be the villain. And kind of like there was like some foreshadowing on that, like how the dad responded to things, and like he was okay with like him dating Wednesday in a way, like for a couple times. So it's like something's going on there.
See, here's the thing, right? And I'll say my kind of thought process. I did think that the show had a very obvious like plot points and hooks and whatnot. Because like I came from the get-go, like the normie teacher or the person who played the original Wednesdays from the show. I instantly went like, she's bad
guy. Yep.
The fact that they point out to say that she's the first normie teacher there, I'm like, that's
she's the outcast of the outcast.
And like the whole like the thing that actually got me surprised, actually not really surprised, but like I'm like, okay, they didn't do exactly what I thought they would do. Whenever you see the jackal and you see like the big bubbly eyes, I thought that was definitely referenced to that character, because she has those big glasses, it kind of makes her eyes kind of stand out, and I thought that was supposed to be like a reference, like a one-to-one telling and showing. But they instead make that kid be it. And I'm kind of like, okay, like that's fine. The whole concept, I don't like teenage love circles or triangles or whatever you want to call it. I've always had issues with that. It's one of the reasons why I had a hard time watching Korra when I did like Legend of Korra, because the basically a lot. There's a good portion of that show, season 1, 2, and 3, where Korra kind of has to deal with the love triangle between like her and the one firebender and the one and his brother, and as well as like other people about like who likes who doesn't like who has destroyed this other person's life because they're a horrible person, blah, blah, blah. Stuff like that I get kind of like checked out on. But the Wednesday one was a little more enjoyable for me, because the main character, the one who was supposed to be part of it, was not interested in them and kind of like dissociated with the whole like dating and all that stuff. So it was funny to see these like guys trying to woo Wednesday, and it's like, you're a stone face zombie, like you don't show any emotions. And then it's like, when you see her show emotions in this show, I actually thought like the Wednesday showed more emotion than I thought she would. How they portrayed her in the trailer and in a lot of the episodes, just emotionless. But like they did it here with the trailer with Fester. Like when she first sees Fester, she legitimately smiles. She's excited. And then they also show when her pet scorpion dies. Like her crying and everything of that sort, and she's like, I stopped after that point. She does show emotion in the show. It's just very few, far, and in between. And it was just enjoyable to see where she actually found her enjoyment, where she actually finds her interests. And it's not in the cliche girl who's kind of like self-sufficient outcast finding the true love type deal thing. It's like, that's not it. Like, she still has that thing where the guy kind of like falls for her, but it's not her opening up to him or like changing how she acts. It's him changing how he perceives what a relationship looks like by the end of it. Like, even whenever she like walks out and it's like, you left me your number. It's like, yeah, it's like presumptuous of you. And she just leaves. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I see it. Like, whoever Wednesday gets with, it will probably be someone who just falls for her hand and knees and is willing to do anything and just deal with her, you know? Because I think that's kind of what happened in the One movies back in the day. Like, there was the one kid played by the dude from Santa Claus, I think was the guy. The elf, Bernard. that's how I know his name. We also saw him in Buster Shrug. Like, he's in Buster Crunch. He kind of, like, just waited on her hand and feet, much like how Gomez does with Morticia, even if she doesn't want to admit that she's like her. So yeah, that was just my like ramblings from my brains, right? Real quickly. So I'm just glad that the show didn't try and make it some teenage drama where I had to just deal with her being like, oh, I like him, but you know, he's a normie and I like him, but oh no, he'd possibly kill her. You know, it's a lot of that stuff, but we didn't have to, luckily enough, didn't have to deal with that and got more of a outcast doing her own thing versus the world trying to get her to change.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then, you know, some of the cast that I wanted to talk about was, you know, of course, Gwendolyn Christie.
Gwendolyn Christie. Did not expect her. I didn't know she was in this.
Oh, yeah. She had, I knew she was in this because when she joined the Sandman cast, she signed up to 3 more Netflix series.
See,
and Wednesday was one of them.
I thought that because whenever I saw her on the show, I was like, ooh, pleasant surprise. I'm always down for Gwendolyn Christie. And I was like, she must have done this around the same time as
one of her Game of Thrones cast members actually is in the show, too. He plays a small role, but that is Murray MacArthur. You know him as Torwin from Game of Thrones. I think that's his name. The red beard guy. Yeah, like Torwin, that's Torwin. Yeah. He actually plays the old guy that's in like the old townhouse that gets murdered. With the photo camera, that's him.
That's great.
That and
that explains why he's hovering around the store and tries to get pictures.
And then Ricky Lindholm, she is from a comedy duo that I love called something in Oats. It's not Garfunkel and Oats.
That's Garfunkel and Oats.
Is it Garfunkel and Oats?
Yeah, she's the.
Yeah, she's the blonde. Okay, yeah. Is Garfunkel. It's, I always get that mixed up with the real music duo, which is Hall & Oates and then Garfunkel and Simon and Garfunkel. Okay, Simon, so it is Garfunkel.
Hall & Oates, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, they made me laugh. That was okay. So, honest true thing, when she came on screen, I instantly went, you look super familiar. I've seen her before. How do I know her? And I could not figure out who she was. So when you said her name and I clicked on it, I instantly went like, oh yeah, that's who she was.
That and one other person is Fred Armis. He played Uncle Fester. He's everywhere. But the show I remember him from is Last Man on Earth with Will Forte. Fournette is a different person. But yeah, like, but I will say I really didn't care for him as Uncle Fester, but it wasn't like to a point where I was like, I really hate this. It's more of like, I love Christopher Lloyd's, what's it called? Like rendition of Uncle Fester because it's Christopher Lloyd. But I had to like let that go because it's like, well, Christopher Lloyd was just pretty much playing himself.
Yeah.
You know, so.
The only issue I had with Uncle Fett, and I enjoyed his character, like him actually being part of the show, how he kind of worked and how he was there to support. And then once he kind of did his deed, he got kind of thrown off the side. It didn't become a Wednesday Infester versus whatever.
Yeah.
My only issue I had with him is he felt like he was doing a voice when he was talking, and it felt weird to me for that reason. Everyone else felt like they were doing their normal voice. He felt like someone who like showed up on set. He's just like, I gotta do a voice. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. Like, I don't think you need to. I think him as a character is kooky enough. You don't have to do a voice to it. Again, yeah, that could just be my opinion, and other people may be his Fester has always had this style or whatever. Like I'm not a Adam Family connoisseur to be able to sit here and say like Fester canonically has a very deep voice. Like, how dare you? I just don't know.
Catherine Zeta Jones was in this too. She played Morticia. Catherine Zeta Jones.
Where she's from? I've heard that name before.
Mask of Zorro, like all the Zorro movies with
Banderas. I never watched
them. She is the lady, the hottie. And then Elise Grossman, we already know him, you know, Community. Waiting, a whole bunch of stuff.
I always laugh because as I was watching this show, I'm like, I always liked him. And then my brain's like, what's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about him? I'm like, freaking Batman. That's all that comes to my mind. Bat. Waiting.
Oh, Batwing. Yeah,
that's always what comes to my mind. I'm just why? He's a that's good actor. Why does that come to my mind? Because I was a stupid teenager when that came out.
Like, when I see Justin Long, I think of Waiting. I don't think of any other really movie.
I think of Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, you think of Galaxy Quest. Mm-hmm. I think of Waiting. So, yeah. But, yeah, this show, there was a couple times where, like, things were very predictable. And I can over, like, see that stuff as long as it doesn't ruin the show. And I think the show does really well with one concept. Mm-hmm. And you actually hit on it, like, just a little bit ago, is it didn't turn into, like, Wednesday and someone else. Yeah. It was more focused on Wednesday. Like, we had the thing. It came around, but it didn't take over where it was, like, this thing and Wednesday thing. It was more of like we always focused on Wednesday, because I was like really, you know, when Fester showed up, I was like, oh, let's not make this like a Fester and Wednesday, like, you know. And then when he left, it was fine. Or like the whole Addams Family, you know, Pugsley was like the person that didn't get as much screen time as everyone else, you know. But
I'm okay with that because my understanding of Pugsley is that he's a pushover, so it makes sense for him to be a pushover on the silver screen, you know. Like, that's just how it is. The one thing I will say, the thing, right, as a character, I felt like there was a missed opportunity in this season. Hear me out, right? We have this character. We have this villain who's going around collecting body parts to resurrect this person. They had an opportunity to do two things. One, hint at an idea of where Thing came from, like his origin story to a degree. But the biggest thing is we miss an opportunity that Thing gets kidnapped and it gets assimilated into the body as him. And one of the reasons why Wednesday is able to beat him is because Thing starts taking, like, fighting back with his hand. It's like, oh no, I need this body part. But this body part is loyal to Wednesday and the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Like, we missed the opportunity for like some cool storytelling or action in that way.
Actually, there is a little thing that I forgot about that I kind of remember now. How she gets like resurrected. I thought that was cheesy.
The
act of God
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like an act of God.
It felt unneeded. Honestly, my brain kind of like zoned out at that point, and I'm just like, wait, so she's just fine? Like, the soul just repaired her? Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have time about this. The world's come to the end, and this. old pilgrim somehow has magic powers now, and so it's like let's just move past that and go on. Like, my brain was like, it entered slock mode at that point. I'm like, it's just nothing but action slock now. It's not going to be some like her using her brain to get out of something. It's going to be just her like fighting. It was like, that's all it was.
Then there was a part in the show where like it made me think of you instantly. I was watching the show before we even talked about Wednesday.
Okay.
And that was the scene where Tyler, I think that's his name, the guy from the cafe, takes Tyler. Her out on a date to the crypt. And they start playing a movie, and the song that comes on is Perfect Day. And I thought of you, actually, because I remember this song being on a demo CD when we were kids. And it was that song in Kids of America. I don't know if you remember. We're the kids from America.
Oh, I know exactly what song you're talking about. I just don't remember.
Yeah, that song. Perfect Day was the first song that was on that track list. And then number two was that song. It was like from like, I think it was like from a cereal box we got that CD or that demo from.
No. So here's the thing. You may be mixing two things up. Because the whole Kids of America is actually from the Digimon movie. That's where I first heard, because it was the one rendition of Kids of America. I think you're thinking of Simon and Milo. We had this small little three song song play track. And they had two songs of Simon and Milo, one called Get a Clue and then It's Not Me, It's You. And then two other songs from people I do not know and never cared for. And I would only listen to those two songs of Simon and Milo because I liked how they sound.
Mm.
So that song could very well be on the Simon and Milo.
Yeah, I think it is soundtrack. Actually.
Because when you started saying that, my brain's just like, I don't know what the heck he's talking about. And then as you said demo tape, I'm like, the only demo thing I remember is that CD of Simon and Milo.
Yeah. So, yeah, I started thinking about you like that. But I actually laughed pretty hard when I started hearing that song. I was like, he's torturing her by making her watch this. That's like a thing that she's into. Mm. And then she was like, thank you for putting me through that torture. And then I saw it was Legally Blonde, of course, and that was funny.
Oh yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it's kind Reese of torture, Witherspoon, depending terrible. On who you are. So on and so forth. Like, okay, the different characters are great. One character I do want to talk about is Enid, and the Wolf Owl girl. What'd you think of her?
So I like her character, I really do. But once I found out that she has not transitioned to a werewolf, I knew instantly what was going to happen.
Oh, 100%.
She's going to fight that Hyde.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to transform and she's going to save the day. That was predictable.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the transformation. I enjoyed the graphics and the sound of, like, the transformation is what I love about werewolf. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but, like, I love werewolves movies. Like, I love werewolf films. And one of the best transitions of a werewolf from a human is practical. It's practical effects I've seen. And that is Werewolf in London has, like, the best ever transition to a human to a werewolf. Okay. And when this happened, I was like, okay, this is good. Like, they did a really well job. In my opinion, I think they did a good job with transitioning her as a human to a werewolf when she was transforming. I thought that was really cool. And I did like the hair that stayed. I thought that was pretty sweet. Like, she's this punk rock werewolf.
I chuckled when that happened. Because whenever she was like transforming, I'll be honest, I was actually sad she transformed. I didn't want her to. Because that was a like defining thing about her, is like, I may become a lone wolf. And I didn't like, like, her mom was very like judgmental and harshful to her, but her dad was like full on supportive. He just was, you know, very much the side guy. Like, he's like, your mom's kind of the leader of our pack, and he's like, just be you, I love you regardless. And I was like, that's great. Like, that's a great story for someone who's like, if you don't fit in, it's okay. And when she started transforming, I'm just like, well, that's too bad, because I felt like they're going to ruin the whole story of Enid possibly being like an outcast, especially since her and the one Medusa or Gorgon person was falling in love with each other.
That took me, I had this brain fart when they talked about, he's like, yeah, you probably stone yourself, or I've been stoned many times. I did not put that
you
together.
Didn't put that, yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't put that together until like I started thinking about, because I was like, wait a minute, are these like druggies, like these kids get high
totally
or something and
I
get powers?
I
see the bandana that, or like the band, what was it, like the thing that he wears, and then I started thinking, like, I didn't put it together, and like for a couple more episodes it's like, is that kid like suffering from cancer or something? And then like, bam, it hit me, and I was like, he's got snakes on his head. He's Medusa.
I honestly did not realize it until the scene where he's getting out of the shower and then there's snakes. And I was like, oh, so he's a Gorgon. Okay. Oh, that makes sense on what they said earlier. I totally thought he was just a stoner because of how he was kind of like dazed when he was talking. And that was definitely the joke they were making. Like, he's kind of dazed because he stuns himself so much.
Yeah.
And that's funny to me. It's hilarious. And so it actually made that point in the story. I was like, okay, that was good. That was a good joke earlier that I'm going to, I enjoy now more because I didn't realize. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst part, right? When I was watching it, I don't know if I wasn't paying attention or they didn't like spell it out straight out that he was a like Gorgon Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
They probably did, but my brain didn't process it because I didn't process all the different people. I didn't want to like process all the people that there was, you know, just different characters or different like clat, like, I don't know, like creatures or whatever here. That wasn't really something that my brain was thinking of at that time. I just thought, you know, it's just weird people here. Oh no, they're straight up like mythical creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Was it, I enjoyed Enid's character. I thought her and Wednesday's kind of like two person kind of deal thing where they're like, oh, I'm dark. She's really like happy go lucky. I enjoyed that. That it's kind of like a cliche that tends to happen whenever you have a character that's very dour. You get someone who's very like open. But I'm just like, eh, whatever. I'm perfectly fine with it. And she grew on me. At first I didn't like her, and then she grew on me, and I ended up liking her a lot. I think what made me like her character was the river episode where it's going downhill when they're canoeing. That made me like her a little more.
Yeah. No, like there's some really good parts of the show that I really enjoyed. I feel like it's like introducing this new thing that's going to be like it's going to be a bigger thing. Like I think season two, like they've already talked about season two is probably going to get renewed. So many people liked it. So many people like the show right now. And this is like the first time that like Tim Burton's done something in a while that's like kind of an upswing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like brought him back to the forefront, because like Tim Burton's kind of not really done too much, except for this. He brought this back. But one of the biggest things that I wanted to like talk about on this was the music score on a lot of the songs were actually songs that we already know. It's just their rendition into different instruments. The whole one where they go to, what is it? Nevermore comes to Jericho and they do like that little band thing. And then Wednesday blows up the statue.
Oh yeah.
The song that she's playing is Paint It Black by Rolling Stones, but it's in a cello version. And then they actually did Apocalypto, which is one of my favorite like weird bands. But Apocalypto is a band that is a heavy metal band that does heavy metal covers with cellos. Like a bunch of them are with cellos. And they did a Metallica song, Nothing Else Matters, in that show. And it was Apocalypto that they had doing that cover, which was great. I thoroughly enjoyed all the music and everything that Danny Elfman did for this, like composing wise, because, you know, he's always spot on next to Hans Zimmerman. You know, those two guys are like one of the best composers of, you know, that I think of all time. But what did you think about the power thing? Like her having visions? Like did you like that, or like did you not like that?
I don't know. I'll be honest. When it first was introduced, my brain went like 30%. I don't know about this. Most of it was anytime you have a detective-like show. If the detective-like show is based upon this concept that the person has powers to help like deduce or figure stuff out, it tends to make me not like the character as much, because, you know, they're freaking, it's not their detective prowess that's letting them get through stuff. It's her seeing these visions that allows her to work out and figure out stuff.
Yeah.
And so that kind of made me, I'm like, of my whole thought process, I'm like 39% of the time I don't like it or more. This show, I would have liked it better if she deduced everything without the need of some psychic power. And instead just like parse things out on her own, because like it, the power becomes kind of deus ex machina in certain things, like her at the end touching Tyler and finding out that he's the jackal, and it's like, thanks deus ex machina, sure wish you would have got that through all the other times that she had interactions with him. I don't know. That's one of the reasons why I enjoy the show. I don't know if you've ever watched it, Psych, so much, is because the show is all about this person who his dad taught him to become like a great detective. See, feel, understand everything, like put things together quickly. And he did it so many times in helping the police, but the police didn't know it, that they started thinking he was like a psycho mass murderer type deal thing. And in order to get them from not arresting him and charging him for all these crimes, he says, I'm psychic, right? No one can prove that I'm not psychic. I am a psychic. And so they started hiring him to come to cases. And all he's doing is just looking around, analyzing stuff, and then faking him having powers. And I love that. Like, I love that whole concept, because it removes the whole thought process of, oh, it's mystical why they're this good. Why in this show it kind of, I feel like it dulls Wednesday because she needed that power to do anything. Now granted, with that power, it allows her to do more things than just the normal detective slew. It allows her to like solve cold cases, communicate with different things. I guess it allows her to communicate with the dead too, is what it's showing. Yeah. So there's different things they could do with it. I'm not too bent out of shape, especially since we are in this kind of mystical world where there's werewolves, gorgons, and sirens. So I just kind of went, okay, that's just what the show is, and moved on. I just wish that if this was a canon thing for Wednesday to have, I wish it would have been more prevalent before this.
Yeah, no, so, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I feel like sometimes like there's a lot of like Deus Ex Machina stuff that gave her clues and stuff like that. And like, you know, I even talked about like with her dying and like the girl's like, I'm gonna heal you. I was like, oh man, come on. Like kind of deal. So like, I don't know. I enjoyed the show. I did, but I didn't take it in like as like a very serious show that I was like, well, the difference is like my expectation going into this compared to like how a lot of shows are that I love, like Marvel shows and stuff like that. I tend to just be a little bit more lighthearted with this with Netflix, and I'm terrible at that, like with, you know, shows like that, because I'm very biased against things. I'm like, oh, this has to be perfect, but this doesn't have to be. And Wednesday is in that category of like, it didn't have to be perfect, but I thoroughly enjoyed it though. Like, it's kind of like how Cowboy Bebop was. Like, Cowboy Bebop live action show, I enjoyed, but I didn't go into too much and being like, this is the best show ever. And that's how I feel with Wednesday. And most Netflix shows is like, some shows I just don't, you know, I don't really think they're great shows, but I'll watch them because I enjoyed them. And that's what I felt with Wednesday, is I enjoyed the show. There was a lot of aspects of the show that I really thoroughly cared about and loved some of the storyline, especially with Thing, and the whole background story between Gomez and Morticia, with their whole like, you know, about the murder thing, because like, you know, I knew it was going to be brought up sooner or later, like that had to be solved because it was brought up. But the thing I enjoyed, and I enjoyed the nod that they did where they made him look like the Gomez from the movie.
Yeah. The thing that was so great about it is that while he was younger, he looked like the one Gomez. And when he got older, he looked like the other one. I'm like, that's a great midway comparison for people, because I know a lot of people were all butthurt about how he looked. And it's like, those people have only known those 90s versions of the Adam family. They never seen the original ones. I could care. Like, I didn't care about anything. Like, all I knew about Wednesday is that she was a super serious, anticlimactic girl. And it's like, yeah, that's all I know about her. I'm not going to compare her to anything that came before. That just leads you to disappointment, because in specifically in everything in our world and society, especially in the US, the new thing has to be different enough that people like, but similar enough to the old things that they're able to not just get bent out of shape. And that is something that I'm like, I thought it did good. I thought every character kind of did good in that approach. When it came to that whole issue, my only issue I had with Annie of the Family was actually with Morticia personally, and I just felt like she was very much she was a loving like mom, like how she is in all the other times I've seen her, but she also felt like, I don't know, a little more different. Like, I don't know, I can't even say what it is, but she just felt different to me. Just something felt off. She didn't seem to enjoy the whole darker aspects of life than anything before, but whatever. I just don't know all that stuff. There is one thing I want to say quickly though.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk real quickly about the character of Bianca, the siren girl.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you know how they say like sirens are meant to be like mesmerizing, how they look and everything, and like draw like men to be crashed into the water. Whatever lenses that they had her wear, it was kind of like, I actually felt weirdly like she felt the most supernatural of everything on that show. Just how she, like, her manner with those eyes and how she spoke and everything. I was like, whoa. It's legitimately like she pulls off the whole siren thing. Like, her other, like, siren people didn't feel that same way. She had, like, the energy, the poise, the attitude. And I was like, more like this, man. This is great. Like, solid acting on that. And then it's the same thing with, like, Gwendolyn Christie, with her being the headmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got really sad when she died. I was like, dang, I thought she was a great headmaster, because she came off as stern but hard, but she truly did care about stuff. She did some shady things, that's for sure, but
yeah,
it was all for the betterment of the school, and I liked her as a headmaster. And it made me sad whenever she died, because I was like, I would have liked to see her in more seasons, but I wonder if they'll get Morticia or Gomez to be the new headmaster, and that will be the whole joke. And I could see that being a thing. All right, Austin. Is there anything else you want to talk about when it comes to Wednesday?
No, I think that we hit pretty much, what we wanted to on it. You know, I think that if someone's looking for just a show to watch, I think Wednesday is perfect for anyone. There is violence in it. I will say that, and it gets weird sometimes, but overall, I enjoyed this show.
Yeah, but it's not like over the top war violence and everything. Like, even the one scene with all the blood coming from the sprinklers, they make a point of being like, they couldn't even spring for real pig's blood. It's just paint.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like,
which was kind of like a callback to Carrie.
Yo, it wasn't even a callback. Yeah. It was meant to be a reference. That's why she was so excited that it was happening, only for her to find out not pig's blood, because that's what they used in it. The only thing I will say, that this kind of feels like this is a plot hole that maybe I'll have to go back and rewatch to figure out. It, knowing now that Tyler was the jackal, and Tyler and the other person wanted to kill all the other people or whatnot, I don't understand why Tyler killed Rowan, because Rowan was going to kill Wednesday. And then the jackal came and murdered Rowan and then ran off. And I'm like, by that point, didn't they know about the whole book and all that stuff? Or maybe not. They didn't. But at the same time, like, why would you not let her get killed? Maybe at that point, she wasn't seen as a threat, and he hasn't been told to, like, kill her or them to get rid of her. I don't know. But that's something that I would have to rewatch, because it didn't make sense to me. Like, why they ever saved her? Why did he even want to save her? Or was it just a, I got Hulk out, and he's the first person I saw, but I'll just kill her and not the other one? That's the thing. Like, we're led to believe that he didn't love her, and he was loyal to her the whole time, and the only reason why he was doing all that stuff was for the other. I don't know. That's why I'll have to rewatch it, because that is something that doesn't make sense in my head that I would have to redo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Austin. I think that basically covers our thought process on Wednesday. That was my last wait what moment right there, and well, that's fine. What?
There's more.
Austin, next week we're gonna watch a show that I personally really like. I like it a lot. I will say one preference before anyone watches the show. Thank you, Molly, for getting in the way of the camera. There is a trailer. Not a trailer. So next week we're gonna watch Bean Pubcat. It came out on Netflix. There's the Netflix show of it. And the first couple episodes of it are going to be like a recap of the series that they did prior. Because Bean Pubcat have been in this limbo state for a while. I really like Bean Pubcat. I'm enjoyable. People who have listened to the podcast or know me personally knows that I like animated series of multiple sorts. And Bean Pubcat was originally a YouTube show that they did two episodes for as pilots. Then they got a deal with Verve, or I think it was just called Verve. And then they made, I think it was like 5 or 6 episodes originally to make a whole season. And then that got stopped because Verve was kind of like family, to be honest. And then they got kickstarted, and then they got put on Netflix. And so I was like, I'm just happy because I really like the show. And so what I'm going to say is, when we go watch it, I would recommend y'all to look up Bean Pubcat on YouTube to find the two original trailer show episodes, because those are the two shows when they did it that made me fall in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that it kind of gets retelled in the Netflix show for the first like episode or two, but they give a little more context and you can go from there and enjoy it. Thank you, Molly. I love you so much. But yeah, that's what we're going to watch next week is Bean Pubcat. Mm-hmm. It's just single season, relatively short. I think it will be a nice little cut, and then we'll have another show we'll be watching, which will be Austin's turn, because oddly enough, we got flooded with a bunch of shows during October and November, and then we were going to do Andor, whatever it was.
Andor. Yeah.
But it's being released on NBC, ABC, CBS.
ABS. ABC right now.
ABC, yeah.
Because it was the first ever like Disney show from Disney Plus that they decided to do ABC.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be done. It's already done on Disney Plus, but a lot of more people will see it, will be watching it for this month because it's on ABC.
Mm-hmm. So, and we'll we're going to give a go there so people can see it and then come to it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Austin, that's basically it. I'll see you next week when we do Bean Pubcat. Austin, as always, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. And thank you all so much for stopping by. And thank you all so much for tuning in. Say bye, Mom.